Good morning. I want to go to heaven more than anything else in this world. There's not a song that touches the heart of man more than a song about heaven. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. There is a habitation built by the living God. There's not a verse of Scripture that touches the heart of man more than a verse about Scripture, about heaven, is there? Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's not a thought nor a prayer uttered that gives more comfort to the Christian than a thought about our home in heaven. And so as we struggle today with battles that we have in our lives, as we struggle with sickness, death of friends and family, as we struggle with Satan's temptation, worldliness, it's heaven that gives us our hope, isn't it? It's heaven that gives us our joy. It's heaven that gives us the encouragement to fight the good fight of faith. And it's heaven that calls us to be different from the world. And so maybe, just maybe, we can understand a little bit of what Paul said, Philippians 1, 21 through 24. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having both a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain on the flesh is necessary for His sake. So this morning, let us prepare our minds for the eternal home with God, where God has prepared us a place. Let us set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. First, let's paint a picture of what heaven will be like. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I want to read the first 7 verses. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death, no longer any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Verse 6, And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I shall be his God, and he will be my son. The picture here in Revelation is of eternal bliss, is of our home with God. And so many times in the New Testament, when it describes heaven, it's in symbolic language, isn't it? Poetical. It is pictures of streets of gold, mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1 and 2. And so the picture is eternal bliss, better than anything we could possibly imagine in this world. It's hard for us to imagine no more crying, no more mourning. But in heaven, there will be. That's the way it will be. Think about a beautiful picture that you have in your mind. What is pure beauty that you've seen? Maybe it's a wheat field cross the prairie before harvest. Maybe it's the Smoky Mountains before the fall. Maybe it's a clear Colorado stream. Whatever your picture of beauty is in this life, it pales in comparison to what heaven will be like. And so this morning, I don't want us to think about those superficial things. The reasons why we want to go to heaven are spiritual, aren't they? They're not nearly streets of gold, but it's spiritual reasons. And so this morning, four reasons why I want to go to heaven more than anything else in this world. First of all, because heaven is the home of our Lord, God Almighty, our Creator. Listen to what Matthew says about where God is. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, forever does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And do not call anyone on your Father, for there is one Father, he who is in heaven. You see, over and over, Matthew stresses, God is at home in heaven. Do we understand how truly amazing this is? The same God who spoke the worlds into existence, the same God who rescued David from the hand of Goliath, is the same God that we can have a home with in heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. He is Yahweh. He is eternal. He is love. He is spirit. And He is our Father. And heaven is His home. But secondly, I don't want to just be there just because God the Father is there. I want to be in heaven because Jesus the Son is there. Jesus, the one who died for us, who is called the Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, Man of Sorrows, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, His home is in heaven. And we want to be there with our Savior Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 20 through 23 says Jesus is called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, for He shall save His people from their sins. And so the Anointed One, the one we call the Christ, is in heaven. The book of John gives us so many pictures of what Jesus is, doesn't it? He's called in chapter 1, the Word, the Life, the Light, the Glory of God. In chapter 4, He's called the Water of Life. Chapter 6, the Bread of Life. Chapter 8, the Light. Chapter 10, the Door and the Good Shepherd. Chapter 14, the Resurrection and the Life. And remember, at the end of the book of John, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Jesus, who died for you, who died for us, knowing that we were going to sin and fall short, Jesus, His home is in heaven. And so the Scriptures clearly tells us that Jesus is there, and so we must press on for the upward call of Christ Jesus. If then you have been raised up, Colossians 3, verse 1, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We want to be there with Jesus. But thirdly, I want to go to heaven because heaven is the home of our heroes of faith. Think about the heroes of faith that we read about in the Old and New Testament. Wouldn't you like to ask some questions? Wouldn't you like to see Noah? You know, what was the reaction? You're building on that ark. Wouldn't you like to see Paul and Silas? When you started that first song in prison, you know, what were those strange looks you got? Sarah, when you said you were going to give birth at that age. On and on the list could go of heroes of faith that will be there. So many interesting stories. Remember the Hebrew Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11? And in verse 32 through 38, says that there's not even enough time to tell you about so many other stories. For time will fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtain promises, shut the mouths of lions, quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong, became mighty men in war, put armies to flight. On and on the list goes of our heroes of faith that will be there. So we want to be in heaven because God the Father is there, Jesus the Son, and our heroes of faith. And fourth point is, we want to be in heaven because it's the home of our friends and family, loved ones who've gone on before. Many names are coming to your mind right now, aren't they? What about who taught you the gospel? The person who taught you the gospel. What about those who've taught you by their Christian life what it means to be a Christian? What about those good people in your life, many in this congregation who've went on to get their reward? Think about what that reunion will be like. And that's why we want to be there. Nothing else will matter if we're there and they're there. We had a special announcement made this week. Perry and Alba had a new son born. Perry and Alba Harden, Benjamin James Harden. And that name I love for many reasons. But one is that was the name of my brother, Benjamin James Elliott. And 8 years ago when he passed away due to cancer, all that mattered when he passed away was heaven and the thought of who's going to be there. That's all that mattered. So this morning we want to go to heaven more than anything else in this world. And if we get a real picture, a real glimpse of what it will be like, then it will help us in our everyday life. It will change our way of thinking. It will change our way of seeing urgency in this life. And we will respond accordingly. You know, having a clear goal and a clear picture of something is important in anything in life. Arlene Bloom led a group of all women explorers, and they climbed Annapurna, one of the highest peaks in the world, in 1978. And she wrote, after getting to the top, successful mission, she said, "I learned that a group of ordinary people can do incredible things if they get a clear picture of your goal, really see it, feel it, taste it." So I think if we have a clear picture of our goal of heaven, if we can really each day imagine what our goal is like, what it will be like there, it will change the way we think. Suddenly, the latest post, things that we think we must have, how much money we have, won't matter as much. It'll be about our goal of heaven. Suddenly, our looks, our status won't matter as much. You know, children have a way of putting you back down to reality, don't they? Amos and Lydia were small. We took them to Disney. And so, you know, we think this is going to be a great trip. And it was. We stopped at SeaWorld the first day. And we're watching the big killer whale show. And Shamu comes up out of the water. Grand finale. And one of our children says, "Look, there's Mom." And so as you can imagine, the jokes just kind of continued from there the rest of the trip. You know, "Hey, Shamu, do you want to ride Splash Mountain? Hey, Shamu, do you want to do this?" And so I was enjoying this, all these jokes, until we were at Animal Kingdom a couple days later, and we see a silverback gorilla, and those things, ugly. And as I recall, it was not the better side of the silverback gorilla. One of our other precious children says, "Look, there's Dad." So put you back down to reality, and in heaven it won't matter whether we look like Shamu or a silverback gorilla, will it? All that will matter is if we're there and if you're there. And so heaven, when the moment comes, we have really two options. Either our life is going to be called, death is going to call our name, or Jesus is going to descend from heaven. And all that will matter then is eternity and whether we're one of the saved. Sometimes I think people today, the trump of God will sound, Jesus will come in the clouds, and they'll still want to take one more selfie. You know, but the time for that will be over. It'll be about eternity. All the focus on that will be over. And so, in thinking about heaven, in thinking about why we want to be there, may I offer three practical suggestions, things that I think will help us. Number one, if we keep a clear picture of heaven, we need to avoid distractions. We need to avoid distractions. If you're like me, it's easy to get distracted in this life. We have messages coming from everywhere, all the time. Things are coming in. Things are coming in. We have everyone's telling us that their children are the smartest, the best, most athletic children in the whole world. Their spouse is perfect. Everything is perfect. This is not real life. These are distractions. Real life is people are hurting, people are struggling, and that is why we long for heaven. So the days of focus on ourselves should be over. We need to lose our distractions. And sometimes I wonder if Satan doesn't need us to do this or that sin that's wrong. What if he can just keep us distracted? What if I know they won't do this or that, whatever. You put the sin in there, you put whatever. But if I can just keep them busy not thinking about eternal things, if I can just keep them busy not thinking about heaven, if I can just keep them busy not thinking about others, then he'll have another follower. What if we charted each one of our messages each day to eternity, heaven, and distractions, and we just put a tally, each one? What would the columns look like? If you're like me, we get distracted a lot. And so instead of thinking about the number of likes that we have or the number of likes someone else has, maybe we need to be thinking about what heaven will be like. Instead of thinking about worldly things, let's turn to what's eternity. Secondly, a clear picture of heaven will cause us not to settle for mediocrity. We see it all around us. It starts when we're young, and we see average effort. B work given A grade. C work given B grades. We see everyone gets a trophy. We see all this stuff, and you say, well, what does that have to do with the subject, Jason? Well, I think it has a lot to do with it. Sometimes, don't we look at the church the same way? What is the least amount we can do and still get by? What is the least amount? We want to check our card. We didn't do the least amount, and then we go on. So instead of seeing what the least we can do, since heaven is so great and we have that clear picture, how about with heaven so great, why wouldn't we want to serve God? Why wouldn't we want to do more for the church? Why wouldn't we want to do more? Jesus raised the standard in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? He said, you have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. And he goes through different examples. And Jesus set the bar higher. And so us in our Christian life, we need to set the bar higher. And if we have a clear picture of what heaven, how great it will be, that will be easy for us to do. Suddenly we'll make time for service. Suddenly we'll make time for prayer. Suddenly we'll make time for studying. Suddenly these things will not become a chore. With heaven is so great, and it's for all eternity, why wouldn't we want to do it? So a clearer picture of heaven will cause us to not settle for average effort. And finally, having a clear picture of heaven will seek others to join us. If we believe that it's for all eternity, that heaven is real and hell is real, then wouldn't we want to tell other people about it? Wouldn't we want to seek other people? Wouldn't we want to tell them, this is how great heaven is going to be, and we want you there? But sometimes we're so worried about how we're perceived. Are we not sometimes sending the message that you're okay the way you are? Just stay like you are. But heaven is going to be that great, and we need to seek other people to join us. And so today, I want us to display our hope in heaven. Our citizenship is there, and so we press on for the upward call of Christ Jesus. Oh, I want to go to heaven more than anything else in this world. And the Bible is clear. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Bible is clear. When we make mistakes and we sin, as all of us will, if we confess our sins, make the changes, the blood of Christ Jesus cleanses us and continues to cleanse us of all sin. What gets in the way of that simple message for us is pride, is Satan, and is taking our eyes off of heaven and our eyes off of eternity. That gets in the way of that simple message. And so surely we want to go there because heaven is the home of our God and Father, Jesus the Son, our heroes of faith, and many friends and family. And surely, with it being so great, we can avoid some distractions, can't we? We can raise the standard of our conduct. We can seek others to join us because heaven is so great. I want to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. I want to see those pearly gates encircle around the throne of God and bask in His glory. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, I want to go to heaven more than anything else in this world. How about you? If there's anything we can help you with, come now as we stand to sing.